These orange ones are Jack B. Little. The ones beyond them are Hokkaido. The pale orange ones are Golden Nugget.
Ask the everyday person on the street to rattle off a list of pumpkin varieties and you'll probably hear butternut or Kent. But ask Manjimup pumpkin grower Rick Schoons and the list just keeps going on and on.
And the long ones across there, the yellow ones, are Delicata. That's the Shishigatani as well, that one. There are some black futsus further over there. They're sweet dumplings.
Hello, I'm Tyne Logan. Rick and his partner Barbara grow heirloom pumpkin varieties on their farm here in the southwest corner of Western Australia. They're hoping to expand the market for these niche varieties.
And that probably already covers the most popular, but there's quite a lot of others that are equally interesting in flavour, no more challenging to grow. But getting that the market penetration with those ones like the one Barbara's got now, the Musqui du Maroc, is a spectacular eating pumpkin. But getting market acceptance is dependent on getting it tested or tried in the market to start with. That's where most of our challenge lies, is not actually growing, but in fact getting them understood by the market.
This year alone, the Schoons are growing 43 varieties, up from just 18 last year. It's all part of their strategy to educate consumers about what's available and discover which ones are most popular.
We grew significant numbers of probably a dozen or 15 of them and sample numbers of the rest. And so we've sold in the numbers of a few hundreds of kilos of a lot of them just to see how they go.
These ones here are the white clouds. They're like really little ones and they're beautiful. They taste almost like chestnuts.
It's all a part of their larger plan to build up the presence and interest for heirloom pumpkins in the marketplace, something they're sure will come soon.
Crumbly texture.
Yeah. There's some butter on it. They're certainly lovely when you keep them moist. They're nice. Yeah.
I think they will. I'm originally from Germany and my mother sent me a video from one of the fruit and veggie shops there, and lo and behold, they had all the different pumpkins, like pretty much the, you know, 5 to 10 varieties that we think are very popular here. They had them in the shops there. So, and in France you see things like that in the supermarket. So I think there is a market in Europe, so therefore we believe there will be a market here because people are on the lookout for new things. They're used to all the varieties, all the veggies that we've had for quite a while now. I mean, WA was excited about getting some of the, you know, the more Italian varieties maybe 30, 40 years ago. So now it's time to have some more on the shelves and not just the butternuts and Kents.
Quite different to what you would expect from a pumpkin with, you know, texture and flavour-wise. In fact, quite a few of the old varieties have that very chestnutty flavour and texture and almost like a sweet potato flavour as well.
Because how much have you invested into this business?
Between our garlic and our heirloom vegetables, getting off $500,000 the business owes us. It's a substantial investment, and that doesn't include my time. I've worked full-time on this for a long time and have not drawn anything from it. So it's very much an investment based on a love and a deep-seated philosophy. We do believe in this and the merits that it holds, but turning what we believe into either money in the bank or food on the table is yet to be totally realised.
So you see something like that, off adjacent plants, and that's why one reason why we like them, because they are variable. You know, they're not just like...
Along with testing the new varieties on the public palate, they've also now applied to trademark the name Funky Pumpkins to help in the marketing of the varieties with a less familiar name.
It's catchy to some degree, or at least it gets people's attention, because funky is actually a bit of an old-fashioned word in a way, but and it goes hand-in-hand with old-fashioned, if you like, pumpkins. That old-fashioned connotation is something that people would, we think, pick up on.
Could trademarking it backfire, though, because essentially then you are the sole person who's going to be marketing them under Funky Pumpkins? Would it not help more if there were multiple people growing these type of varieties and everyone was saying that they were Funky Pumpkins? Would that not help, because then you'd have, you know, more people marketing the term and more people marketing these less known varieties?
Well, yes, it could put a bit of a block in that sense, but because the term funky is much more recently applied to such products, while the term heirloom and heritage in fact is far more broadly known, I think it's something that we would hope that people would associate with our business and our produce, but it wouldn't prevent others from taking on the growing of heritage and heirloom products.
Yeah, the beauty with most pumpkins and squashes is that you can actually eat them at any stage. Yeah.
So which pumpkins have performed best so far?
I think the smaller varieties are probably the more attractive ones because, you know, you can make nice little meals out of them and you can have a lot of imagination of what you want to do with them. And likewise, the Japanese pumpkins are really interesting because you can actually eat them while they're still almost unripe, while they're green, and they have a very different flavour and texture compared to when they're older. And so you've got a whole range of time when you can actually use them. So, and they're not that well known, obviously, like all our other funky pumpkins. So I think those will be the ones that will take off.